Let's all stand as the choir comes down. Turn to page 202. Let's stand as we sing. 202.
God is always good. Great job. Great job. Great message. Great message. Amen. Amen. I've never heard that one before. That's a good song. That's a, as they say, that's a keeper. That's a keeper. That's a good. Yeah. Yeah. That's a
keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Did she go out?
She had through 16 practice. God is good.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to ask a question, and I'm speaking to young and old alike, and young people, I'm not saying this or asking this question to scare any of you, but what are any of you going to do when a doctor looks you in the face and that cancer word is part of his conversation with you? The only thing you can do is look up.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Call upon his name. Go to him in prayer and rely on him totally.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, the peace that I have right now through this walk of my life is a greater peace than I have ever known. My tears are not tears of sadness or because that word exists in my life and in my vocabulary right now. My tears are tears of joy because I am just drawing closer and closer to him every single day right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what people do without me. I really and truly don't know what people do without me.
Right.
I don't think I could have done this. Him. I know I couldn't have done it without him. And I've walked this walk with my mother and others in my family. He's always been there. He's always been faithful. But until it's you that hears that word in your life, I'm just telling you, he's the one that you need most of all when you go through this.
Amen.
And I want to praise him this morning because Rob asked me as I came down out of the choir how I was doing. Well, surgery is scheduled for December 5th. I'm supposed to help Brenda with the Christmas play, which I still plan on doing, Lord willing. Kay's already stepped up and said she'd fill in the gap if I couldn't, but I'm still planning on it.
Amen.
But one thing I want to praise him for this morning, there are certain things about this disease of mine that you want to hear the good news about. And I've heard good news.
Yeah.
When an MRI was done, I was told that so far they see nothing in the lymph nodes. That was the first round of good news. And the first tears I cried. I never cried any tears until that one. And those were tears of joy. And then this week I got to hear the most awesome news of all. I'm not going to be spared of cancer in future, perhaps, but mine is sporadic. Mine is not genetic. And what that means is that I cannot pass this down to my children and my grandchildren and future generations. I've learned that most of what they've always thought was genetic in this type of a cancer is now 70 to 80% sporadic. It's not, it's only 0 to 10% genetic. But my genetics were tested, and my colon, ovarian, my mother's breast cancer that I'm dealing with. I carry none of those genes. And I just want to praise his name this morning.
Amen.
That my children won't have to deal with that part of it. Now, that's not to say they won't have to deal with cancer one day. But this much of it is good. And God is good. And he has seen me through.
Yeah. Amen.
I just praise his name. And I just beg of you this morning, if you don't know him, I'm praying for an altar call today for this church. I'd like to see someone saved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Be a great day. Bless you. Anybody else? Good to see you here. Amen. It's a miracle. Sitting right here in the second row, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
I think we ought to give God a praise offering this morning. Let's all stand. Three times we're going to praise the Lord for his blessings and his goodness and his healing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Bless the Lord this morning. Anybody else? God is good. God is always good. I wish Bree was in here to hear that.
I'll make her listen online. I was going to say, did you know that song and when Chuck was in the hospital this summer, even on the worst days, when he couldn't lift his legs, or he couldn't even lift his head, he was able to say things to me, and we would talk, and we would always, all day long, words that came from him were, I love Jesus, and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Right.
And watched my husband's journey over these last 15 years. From somebody who grew up in a Catholic church, who was baptized as a baby, to couldn't wait to get baptized as an adult, and just to watch over the course of 20-some years that I got to experience and be part of his journey, which in that time, the summer, I just kind of sat back and was in awe that I was even part of that. So he is always good.
Amen. Yes, amen. Bless you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ron, I don't know if anybody knows or not, but Noah, that used to go to the she fell and broke her leg in two places. And I talked to her this week, and I didn't know up till then, but it's been about 4 weeks.
No.
And she said that she was in the hospital like 5 days.
Sure. Okay. All right. Any other testimonies? All right. Pastor Rob, you come. Donnie Worley, would you rest God's anointing upon the message this morning?
Father in heaven, we bow and come to you, Lord. We come to you in the highest way that we know this morning. Father, we thank you for what we felt in our hearts here today. Lord, we thank you. Really thank you for that wonderful song.
Amen.
Lord, how it touched our hearts and stirred our minds and our hearts up. Lord, we ask you right now if you just be with Brother Rob. We pray that you'd anoint the message, anoint his lips, Lord, as the message comes through him. And I pray that you'd use him. Most of all, if there's anyone here that don't know you this morning or is out of fellowship, we pray that you'd deal with their hearts and they would receive you.
Right.
Eternal, we ask
these
things in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We want to continue the season of Thanksgiving, the season of blessing. I want to take a look at Thanksgiving, not the holiday, but Thanksgiving in the heart. Thanksgiving in the heart and in our life. And we just want to carry that thought. So Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Giving thanks to Jesus, giving thanks to God. I would ask you, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? A lot of us, if we look around this morning at where we worship, we have a lot to be thankful for. We've been to a lot of churches that don't have what we have. If you want to just be real simple and real right now, we've been to a lot of churches that don't have comfortable pews like you're sitting in, don't have the heating that we have and the cooling that we have. Just in this, we have a lot to be thankful for. But if you look at your life, if I look at my life, what do I have to be thankful for? And do I give thanks to God? It says here that we should give thanks to God, praise to God, continually, never stopping, always giving thanks from our lips. Not just in our heart. It says continually, praising God continually, that is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks. Not just being thankful, but telling people, telling God, speaking to God about it, being thankful to God about things in our life, things in our life. What do we have to be thankful for? If you stop, and we did this Wednesday, I said, all right, write down what you're thankful for. Gave him a piece of paper and a pencil and said, write down what you're thankful for. If you were going to make a list right now, make it in your head, what would be on that list? What are you thankful for? Now, most of us go to what we have. We're thankful for what we have. Many things in our life, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should be thankful for what we have. But we go and we make that list. And on that list, some of the things were on Wednesday night class, junior high and senior high together. One of the most interesting ones to me was phone. Phone. I am not thankful for my phone. I'll be honest with you. I could live without my phone, and I would be the better off. But phone was one of them's top of the list, phone. Now, I matched these two, food and bed. Food and bed. Like both of those. Like both of those. But lots of stuff was on there. But what would you say? What would you think? What would you put in your list of what you're thankful for? What would be there? What would be there physically or spiritually or emotionally or mainly? What would be that on your list? I want to take just a few minutes and look at, I'm going to ask a few people in the Bible, not in the congregation, in the Bible, what they're thankful for. Ask a few people what they're thankful for and see what they have to say and see if maybe we're thankful in the same way or maybe we've never thought about it that way. Maybe we don't have that in our life, but maybe it's coming up. Maybe just see what they have to say. But, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians that we should give thanks always for all things. Anybody in here in my Wednesday night class this past week? All right, this, were you, okay. So you're going to hear a little bit of, just right here, a little bit of what we talked about. Giving thanks for all things is what Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 20. Well, 1 Thessalonians tells us, in everything give thanks. For all things and in everything. For being physical, for all things in our life, in being situational, in everything. So God covers it all and says, you know what? There's nothing that goes on in your life that you can't give me thanks for. There's nothing that happens in your life that you can't give me thanks for. There's nothing that you've got that you can't give me thanks for. There's nothing that you don't have that you can't give me thanks for. You can give me thanks for all things. And we think about what we've heard this morning, things that aren't really good. We don't count certain things in this life as great. But God says, for those things, give me thanks. And in those situations, give me thanks. Now, why is that? Why is that? He tells us in Romans. Why is that? Can you tell me? Do you remember? Yep. Can anybody else tell me? Why for all things and why in all things should we give God thanks? Good, bad, and indifferent.
All things work together.
There you go. That's exactly why. Because no matter what it is, no matter what's going on, no matter what we have or don't have, God says all things work for good to those who love God and are caught according to his purpose. Not all things are good, but all things work for good. So he can take whatever it is and move it and make it and change it and shift it and make it work for good. Not he can, he will. That's what he said. So we can give thanks for all things because even if we don't like what we've got, God's going to work it out for our good. And we can give thanks in all situations because even if I don't like my situation, God's going to work it out for my good because that's what he said he would do. He didn't say he might do it. He said all things work for good. Not all things could work for good, but all things work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He will work all things in your life for your good. So I'm going to take a look at just a couple of people in Scripture and ask him, what are you thankful for? So the first thing I thought about was Abraham. Abraham, what are you thankful for? And I think this is what he would say. I'm thankful for an on-time God. I'm thankful that God's on time. God's never early. God's never early. Some people go, what? Well, no, wait a minute. Early is virtuous. You know, I used to say, early is a virtue, and if you don't believe me, it'll be in the Bible somewhere. Till I got married. Now, right on time is lucky. Just, you know, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We'll have an altar call later. I'll meet you there. I'll beat you there. No. And on time, God, think about it. Abraham would say, you know, I walked with God. I followed God. I honored God. I was blessed by God. I was given a son in my old age by God, a son of promise. And one day, Jesus tells me, he says, all right, it's time to kill your son. And I said, okay. I didn't like it. I didn't like that. I didn't think it was a good thing. But God said, it's time for you to sacrifice that son of yours to me. He said, okay. So I took him, and I took the knife, and I took the wood, and I took the fire, and I took my son, and we went up on top of the hill right where God said to go, because I did exactly what God told me. That's what I did in life, is I walked with God, and I followed God. See, when we do what God's will is, doesn't mean life's going to be smooth and easy. Sometimes it's rough and rocky. Sometimes it's questionable, but it's not to God. If we just follow God, so Abraham says, all right, so we went up there. I went up there, and my son even asked me on the way up. And I like this. He said, my son even asked me on the way up. Isaac says, well, God, Dad, we've got wood, we've got fire, we've got a knife. Where's the sacrifice? Not even knowing he was the sacrifice, but Abraham knew it. Abraham knew it, so he says, I get up there, I lay him down, I tie him up, lay him down, put him on the altar, and I draw back, and I'm ready to shove that knife through my son. Why? Because God said so. That's what God said to do. But I'm thankful that right on time, before it went down, right on time, not early, and thank God not late, but right on time, God shows up and says, oh, easy. That's all I need you to do. Need you to do what? Show me that you will. I'm thankful, Abraham says, that God is right on time. I didn't have to kill my son. There was a sacrifice over there. I'm thankful that God is a right on time God. So let's go on. Widow woman, who are you and how are you thankful? Well, I'm a widow woman and I have a son. And I lost my husband, of course, so I didn't have enough money for food and for water and for bread. I didn't have enough money to take care of me and my son. He's my only son, and we don't have anything. As a matter of fact, one day I reached down in the bottom of the barrel. I said, what am I thankful for? That God is the bottom of a barrel God. I'm thankful that God is the bottom of a barrel God. Anybody heard the phrase, the bottom of the barrel? Man, they're scraping off the bottom of the barrel, right? What's that mean? You're at the worst of the worst. The best is the cream at the top. The bottom of the barrel is the worst of the worst. And she says, you know, one day I reached down in the bottom of the barrel and I pulled out stuff to make food and I realized that I only had one more meal left down in that barrel. One more meal is all I had for me and my son. So I made that meal today knowing that tomorrow would be my last meal because that's just what life was. Life dealt me that and that's what my life was. So when tomorrow came, said I got, it was time for dinner. It was time for dinner. And I went down to grab the bottom of the barrel. I was going to scrape the bottom of the barrel. I'm thankful, she says, for the bottom of the barrel. I'm thankful for God who works in the bottom of the barrel because I reached down the bottom of the barrel and pulled out the last meal for me and my son. Now, here was my plan in life. I hope you have a plan in life not like this. She says, my plan in life was we were going to take the last meal, get some wood, build some fire, make a cake. And here's our plan. Here's my plan for my son. We were going to eat that meal, and then we were just going to sit down and wait for death to come along and breath to stop breathing and life to end. That was my plan. But thank God I met a man. Thank God I met a prophet. And the prophet says to me, now, you scrape that bottom of that barrel, and you pull out that meal, and you make that cake, but give me the first piece. You just give me the... She says, but I don't have enough for you, me, and my son, just me and my son. He said, but listen, lady... God is the bottom of the barrel kind of God. You make that meal, you make that cake, you give me the first piece, and you watch what happens. She says, okay, so I did. Why? Because I have nothing better to do. Sometimes we obey because we got nothing better to do. Obeying God is obeying God. Hopefully you obey God and I obey God because he says so and I just love him. But even if there's nothing else to do, nothing better to do, what's it going to hurt, right? What's it going to hurt? So I scraped that meal, made that cake, gave him the first piece, and he said, now, tomorrow morning when you wake up, I want you to scrape the bottom of that barrel. Stick your hand down in there. She says, but it's empty. I said, it's empty. He said, you do it anyway. So we woke up next morning, and I reached down in there. I scraped, and there was another meal. And I looked down in there, and she was empty again. This was the last meal we were going to have, right? We were going to have. Elijah said, nope, scrape it again when it comes lunchtime. So I come to lunchtime, and we go down in that barrel, and we scrape the bottom of that barrel, and there comes up that meal again, just some more, another meal. And don't you know, the bottom of that barrel provided. Until famine was over, provided until I had enough food around, provided as long as I needed it. She says, I'm thankful. I am thankful that God is the bottom of a barrel kind of God. You ever been at the bottom of your barrel? You ever been going through something that you were just done, you just couldn't do no more? Maybe been like we heard about, given some news that just dropped you to the bottom of the barrel? You know what? When we're down at the bottom of our barrel, God is down at the bottom of our barrel. And He's on the mountaintop. He's in the valley. He's on the side of the mountain when we're climbing and the side of the mountain when we're going. And thank God He's at the bottom of my barrel when I'm at my lowest of lows and life is treating me wrong and nothing's going right. And I can't figure it out. He says, you just scrape the bottom of that barrel. When you scrape, you'll find me. And that's what we do. We scrape and God's there. Why? Because that's the kind of God He is. And I thought about the songs they sing. They kept singing blessings after blessings after blessings. And you think about it, and I think about what blessings God has in my life, and I think that's why I'm thankful, because of what God does for us and what God does with us and what God does in us. So I'm thankful that in my lowest times, God is there. In my darkest times, God is there. He's there at the mountaintop too. But He's there at the bottom. He's there in the valleys. He's there when I'm at the bottom. Samuel, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that He's one more. He's a one more God. You glad He's a one more God? You see, God told me, Samuel says, He told me, I'm done with Saul. I want you to go to Jesse's house. I've already anointed me a king. I've already picked me a king out. I need you to go anoint my king in Jesse's house. So he said, all right, so I went down to Jesse's house. And I said, all right, Jesse, God's told me this. Your son is going to be king. Now imagine how Jesse felt. Would your chest go out or what? My son. That's right. My boy. He's going to be king. So I paraded my seven best right in front of him. Biggest, burliest, strongest, probably the best looking, the nicest, the most charismatic, can do anything. Just paraded them all right there in front of him. And I said, surely one of these seven is going to be my boy, the king. And Samuel says, no. No, they're not. And I looked at Jesse and I said, Jesse, don't you have one more? Don't you have one more son? And he says, well, I got one more, but he's a little scrawny little guy out there. Couldn't break a stick in half if he had to. He's just tending sheep. That's all he does. Basically, in our life, that's what he's good for. He can't do anything physical, really, just tending sheep. Samuel says, well, I don't care what he does. I need that one more. Sometimes in my life, I'm done. I've done all I can. I've used all I've got. But I'm thankful that God has one more option, one more way. When I can't figure it out, God has another way. I think about when I got saved. I'm glad God called me one more time. How many of you, of us, gave our heart to God the first time He called? Raise your hand. The first time. Got one? Anybody else? Am I missed? Two, first time God called, you said yes. Two out of all of us. Aren't you thankful for God being a one more time? And another one more time. I'm thankful for another one more time. And I'm thankful for another one. Because He had to call me quite a few times before I said, yeah, it took me a while. But when Jesse put that seventh one, God says, that's the boy right there. That's the one right there. There's times in my life when God has one more, and that's what I need, is that one more. Not my one more, but God's one more, because God always has one more. When you need it to happen, you can't figure out which way, God has one more way to do it. We can't fathom what God can fathom. We can't think what God can think, and we can't dream what God can dream. But I know this, when I'm at the end of my thoughts, at the end of my ideas, at the end of what I can think up, when I am completely done, God has just begun. And He's always got one more. And I'm thankful for that. And I think about when we talk about testimonies, and I always say, you know, are you asking for one more verse or one more song? You know, I'm glad God gives one more chance to come to the altar. There's always one more. A lot of times we give an altar call, and then we give one more. God's the God of one more. And Samuel says, that's what I needed, was that one more son. And then what I needed was that one more chance. I needed that one more call. I needed that one more move that God had to make. One more. I thought about Gideon. Gideon, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that God is the God of wet and dry. Wet and dry. You know what I mean? He says, God called me one day when I was just a scared boy out threshing wheat, hiding from the enemy, taking care of the family, and God sent an angel and said, all right, boy, I'm going to use you to save the army. And he says, but we're the poorest of poor in the community, and I'm the least in my family. I'm glad God is the God of the least, because that would be me. I'm glad God is the God of the wet and dry. And he says, what happened was God said, I'm going to deliver my people through you. And he said, I do not know how you're going to do that. We're going to thresh him dead or something? God says, no, I'll take care of that. And he says, I need you to go fight in the army. And I didn't know about that. Now listen, he loved God. He loved God. Gideon loved God. But he wanted to be sure. He wanted to make sure. So he said, God, all right, here's what I want you to do. If it's really you telling me, then I'm going to lay fleece out here in the ground. And tomorrow when I wake up, I want that to be wet and the ground to be dry. So he woke up next morning, and it was so wet that he wrung a whole bowl of water out of it, but the ground around was dry. Now, that should be enough, shouldn't it? Thank God, God's the God of one more. He don't get mad because of one more. He doesn't get angry because you didn't trust him the first time. Any of you had your children not trust you the first time? I remember a long time ago when this one was young, this little thing. My oldest was little. Put her up on top just to test, right? This is what guys do, just to test the theory. I put her on top of our refrigerator. I never claimed to be smart. And I said, jump. Now, you women are going, are you crazy? And dads are going, did she? Just the difference in women and men, right? The only difference. We're different, right? And she didn't jump. She was smart. But I convinced her to jump off the refrigerator into my arms. Did I get mad? Because if I got mad, I got mad and said, fine, get off here yourself. No, I didn't get mad. I said, well, come on, jump. And eventually she jumped off of the refrigerator into my arms. You know what? I caught her. She needed confirmation. And what Gideon said, all right, I've got to have confirmation that this is really you. So I'm going to lay it back out there this time, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And we went out the next morning, and God said, I'm a God of one more, Gideon. Here's your one more shot. Here's your one more. So it was dry and the ground around was wet. He says, God's a God of wet and dry. I'd like to say it like this, Gideon. He's a God of confirmation. God will confirm to you his plan. He will confirm to you what he's asking. He will confirm to you what he wants to do. I think about the woman caught in adultery. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful that God is a God of forgiveness. What do you mean? Well, I was caught in the act of adultery. I could have been killed, stoned, right on the spot. They drugged me to this Jesus. They drugged me to him, and they said, what would you have us do? Now, we caught her in adultery. She couldn't say no. She was caught red-handed. And she says, they asked, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to kill her? Because the law says she should die. He says, no, I don't condemn her. I forgive her. She says, do the whole thing. The people with the rocks dropped them and walked. And I got up forgiven, not condemned. Aren't you glad that when you and I commit a sin? I'm not going to ask, but if I asked, after you got saved, have you ever committed a sin? I would venture to say that everybody would raise their hand. Aren't you glad that God, like this lady, is a God of forgiveness? That God looks at you and me and says, I love you anyway. I love you even though. I love you in spite of. I always have and I always will. You see, the Bible says that God loved us before we were even born. Before the foundation of the world, he loved you so much that he already gave his son for you back then, that the lamb was slain before the world began. So he loved you and me so much that even when you weren't around, he loved you. And when you are around and you sin and you need forgiveness, he says, I'll forgive you. I'm glad that God is a God of forgiveness. I'm glad that God is a God who looks beyond who I am and what I am and what we do, to what we can be. We can be better, we can be stronger, we can be the Christian that he needs us to be. I'm glad that he forgives as much as he needs to. Why? Because that's why he died. He died because he loves you, and he died so he could forgive you. And that's exactly what he does. Like the lady caught in adultery, she says, he didn't have to, but he did. I was caught red-handed, just like when we commit that sin, God catches us red-handed. We're caught. We think we got away with it. Oh, nobody saw that. Nobody knows that. I got away with that one. No, we didn't. God's seen it when it happened. Never get away. But God says, I forgive you because I love you. I'm thankful, so thankful that God is a God of forgiveness. Now, I asked Peter one time. I said, Peter, what are you thankful for? He said, I'm thankful that God is a God of finances. How many of you are thankful that God is a God of finances? None of you. Oh, I heard somebody, but okay, I heard one. How many of you are thankful that God is a God of finances? Yeah, you know what? I'm thankful that he's a God of his finances, not ours, right? Peter said, I owed taxes one day. I owed taxes. I had to pay it, and I didn't have the money to pay it. We were standing there, and people were asking about me paying taxes, and I was stuck. I didn't have no money. What could they have done? They could have killed me because I didn't have the money to pay my taxes. I could have been thrown in jail because I didn't have the money to pay my taxes. I could have been punished because I didn't have the money to pay my taxes. And God said, don't worry, I got this, I got this, I got this. Got this taken care of, Peter. Let's go fishing. You go fishing. So next time you need some money, just go fishing. Who liked that idea? Anybody like that idea? Yeah, I figured. That's right. Go fishing. Just tell the wife, Rob said, if I need money, go fishing. If that works, let me know. Peter went fishing, and this is what Jesus said to him. I'm gonna make a way for you. I'm going to provide in ways you can't imagine. I'm going to provide for you in ways that you can't even dream up, Peter. Why? Because it's not you, it's me. I don't want anybody to question how this happened, but know that I am God and that I'm in control and that I can take care. So Peter went and caught the fish, and Jesus says, when you catch that fish, tell him to say, ah. And when he says, ah, he's going to spit out a coin. Just take that coin and... He says he paid taxes for Peter and he paid taxes for himself. God provides. God is a God of finances that he can take care of you and he will take care of you. No questions asked. God said, if you're mine, I will take care of you. Peter says, and you ain't going to figure out how it's going to happen. Don't even try. Just live life and let him do it. Just live life. Just jump off that refrigerator and see what God does. I mean, after all, God said he'll give the angels charge over you that you won't even dash your foot on a rock. Just jump and let God take care of the rest. He said, I will provide for you, not out of your financial status, but out of mine, out of Christ Jesus. That's what he said, I would provide for you. I just got one more. Lazarus, what are you thankful for? Now, to me, Lazarus is strong in faith. He's strong in faith, but he has a weird sense of humor. When I asked him that, he said, I'm thankful that God is a God of sicknesses. I'm thankful that God is a God with the power over sickness. That's what he means. He said, well, I got sick a little bit. And I thought, what do you mean sick a little bit? He said, well, I died. Now, to me, that's not a little bit of sick, right? That's the ultimate sick. That is the ultimate. But Lazarus says, that's all right. I was just a little bit sick. I was a little bit sick for 4 days. And Jesus came around. He said, all right, the doctor's here. I'm thankful he says that Jesus is a God over the sickness. So he came around 4 days later. And he said, I've got the medicine for you right here. Take two a day every morning. Don't miss it. Take one a day in the evening. Rather better than that, just get up and come out. Lazarus, just get up and come out. You're healed, he said. So he healed me. I came out of that grave. I came out of that sickness called death. Came all the way out of it perfectly fine and whole, not even stinking the slightest bit like I should have been. I'm glad that God, that Jesus is a God over sickness. Now, put me in his situation. I'm not thankful for that at all. Think about where Lazarus was for 4 days in paradise. Now, if I was in Lazarus' sake, and someone, and I think about it like this. He was walking around paradise there, and, you know, it's been 48 hours, and someone walks up and pecks him on the shoulder, pecks me on the shoulder and says, Jesus wants you. I'd be like, all right, where is he at? And they'd be like, no, you don't understand. He's on earth. I'm like, what do you mean he wants me? He says, well, he wants you to come back. I'd have been like, no. I ain't leaving paradise to go back to that earth for nothing. They said, yeah, he wants you to come back. So I went kicking and screaming all the way back here after being in paradise for 4 days. But you know what? He said, I was thankful to go because he's the God over sicknesses, even little or big or small, bad or not bad, whatever it might be. And we know that. We've seen that. We've got that. But I'm thankful that God is a God who is above all sicknesses. Now, I'm just about done. Whoever's going to get a song. I'm just about done. But here's what I would ask you. Here's what I would say to you. Don't just be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you don't have. Be thankful for what you don't have. Think in your life what could be worse. Maybe say this. I could have this, but I don't have this. All right? Let me give you a situation. I'm just going to give you one for my life, right? And it's not what you think it's going to be. Years ago, I had a boss that I didn't like. Didn't like him. And I said these words. In his meetings, I would rather run full speed into that wall than sit and listen to him talk. We just didn't get along. That's how bad it was, right? Today, I've got a great boss. I've got a great boss today. I'm thankful that I don't have a boss like I used to have. I'm thankful that I've got a boss like I've got. You want to know the weird thing? It's the same guy. Because God changes me. He, I'm sure, is still the same, I guess. But I'm different. But I'm thankful that it's not like it was 8 years ago. Today, I can find a better boss. I'm thankful that I don't have a bad relationship with my boss. What in your life don't you have that you could have? There's an obvious what I'm thankful for, but you've heard enough about that. But I'm thankful that I asked Kendra this morning, what about the genetics test, and she didn't have the gene. I'm thankful that you don't have that. What are you thankful that you don't have? That's as important as what you do have. So ask yourself this. What am I thankful that I have? What am I thankful that I don't have? Most of all, I'm thankful that God is a God of free salvation. Free salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you die today, you don't go to heaven. You die today, you don't go to heaven. You know that. Well, today God is a God of free salvation. Won't cost you a dime. Just come and ask Him. Maybe you're not where you should be. He's a God of come on back. You're walked away. You're living off. Come on back, God says. I'm a God of come on back. I'm a God of forgiveness. I'm a God of free salvation. I'm a God of turn around and walk back to me. This morning, I'm most thankful that God is a God of free salvation for everybody. And this is my last thing. In this time and season of Thanksgiving, be thankful for Christmas. Be thankful for Christmas, because that started your salvation. As we stand and sing, if you need Jesus this morning, if you need God this morning, He's right here.
154.
The world may not see. Thank
Children on top of the refrigerator. Just don't do it. There's better ways to figure that out. Second, if you need financial help, don't go fishing. Because I said so. If you want to go fishing, go ahead, but not because I said so. Third, stay thankful. Stay thankful for what God has done, what God has given, and what God has kept us from. What God has kept us from. Back here at 6 o'clock tonight. Anything else?